Let me ask you a question. How much did that email cost you to send out?
Nothing.
How many dollars in sales did that eventually, that one presentation for the chamber, bring your consulting business?
Well over $100,000.
$100,000 for an email out to about 1,000 people to a chamber of commerce. That's not a bad return. Tell my consultants, my HMA consultants, do you think they could work their local chambers and do what you did if they have the tools to put on a PowerPoint?
Oh, absolutely. People are always looking for ways to increase their business.
Hi, Michael. My name is Alex Whiting. I'm a Y2 marketing consultant. Actually, oddly enough, I've ditched just about everything I learned from them about 2 years ago and actually become a very successful marketing consultant on my own. But I thought it was, I keep on coming across your website, I keep on coming across your materials. It seems like you're doing some interesting things, so I think it would be worthwhile to wrap with you a little bit and just kind of understand what you're up to. And who knows, always nice, I think, to talk to someone who's in the industry and kind of share some ideas and get an idea of what's going on.
I'm Lee Seven, and I am a marketing consultant with Wise Marketing. I'm located in Philadelphia.
You're in Philadelphia, and is this your first experience with consulting? How would you describe yourself? We'd say this is Alex Whiting, a marketing consultant. What do you like to call yourself?
A purveyor of profit steroids.
A purveyor of profit steroids. Tell me, where are you located, and where Pennsylvania?
Philadelphia,
Pennsylvania. So you've been doing consulting for how many years?
8 years.
8 years. And you started very young with a software consulting business?
Yeah.
And then moved in and started learning a little bit about marketing and became interested in marketing. You're working with chiropractors and mortgage brokers.
And realtors. And there's actually several other niche industries I'm in.
How much are you making in consulting with your consulting business? $500,000 a year?
Yeah, and that's, I think that's going to be a lot more than that this year. Already, I'm trying to do more, a lot more. Because at this point in my career, I'm making over $1,000 an hour for my time spent on any different given deal.
Can I ask how many years you've been doing at least $500,000?
I mean, it really started last year when I learned how to leverage. It was instead of doing business with anyone who came to me, when I started leveraging things that worked.
First of all, how did you get into all this consulting? Where did it all start?
When I was about 18, I started consulting. I actually had a business in high school where I developed software and turned into a consulting business when I was about 18. Started a company when I was 19, and I grew that to a pretty large size.
What was the software you were developing? You were in high school at 18? Were you computer nut?
No, I was 16 when I started doing software development for businesses.
Did you tell me you were writing code when you were 4 or something?
That's right. I was writing software when I was 4 years old. So I grew up with a computer chip in my head.
How's that? Did your parents influence you somehow that way?
No, I just took to it.
You just took to it. Okay, so at 4 years old, you were writing code.
When I was about 8, I wrote a game that was published for Atari called Missile Command. I grew up in a pretty normal family. I actually, around 8th grade, I stopped going to school much and just showed up for test day because I was an expert test taker. I pretty much would just go and do whatever I wanted. And somehow, I think this through my power of persuasion, I got away with it every time. In high school, I went to a private school that was very strict. I did the same thing, and as soon as I got a car, bought my own car, bought a BMW from writing software for people, bought my first car when I was 16. It was a brand new BMW, and I just didn't go to school except for test days, and I would actually call meetings with all my teachers and explain to them what I expect of them. And it sounds ridiculous, but I got away with everything I wanted. My whole life.
Did you ace everything, straight A's?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't do well in the homework grade because I never did homework.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a key thing, and you'll find this is leads to my success in everything. I'm very good at pattern recognition. And the way I did so well at tests, and this is a real critical thing, pattern recognition. And this is a critical thing because when you're doing marketing, you have to pick up on the thought and speech patterns of the people you're marketing to. So what I would do is I would show up for the first few days of a class, and I did the same thing in college, and just get a sense of their thought patterns. And then when I went to take the test, I'd imagine that they're talking to me and they were telling me the answers.
Okay. And so that helped you ace the test. So let's apply that to a marketing consultant, or are you getting an account, or is something related to marketing consultant where people can make a connection?
Yeah, it happens all the time. For example, I market to people who buy things that I've never bought before, and I have no clue really what it's like to buy what they buy, but I may have talked to people that would be in that target market, for example, had some conversations with them, and just from little conversations, I can get a feel for the way they think, and kind of get a feel for their thought patterns, how they would react to certain things, what sequence of messages they need to hear in order to buy.
Let's continue. Then talk about the software you developed in high school.
I mostly developed chess playing software, and also I developed some network software that I sold under a private agreement to small businesses.
As you got older, were you gaining knowledge in structuring deals where there was money in it for you?
Yes, I never had considered myself a salesman, and generally when someone asked me about some sort of problem, or if I saw a problem, just by my nature, I like to help people. That, I think, is a critical aspect of being a good consultant, by the way. I love to help people. So what I would do is just start talking to them about, hey, have you tried this? Have you considered this? And automatically, because I'm talking about them, I establish myself as an expert, and I win their trust. That's how I sold everything to the state, and that's still how I sell things. You got to have that strategy. You know, J-Brand called it the strategy of preeminence. But you really need to think about who you're dealing with first, and you need to really focus on giving instead of getting. Through my first company, I hired a guy who was a marketing director over at a similar company that wasn't a competitor. And I just always loved the human mind. Ever since I can remember, I was in love with the human mind and the way humans think. So I've been very interested in psychology. Anyway, I hired this guy. He taught me a lot of different things. This at least got me started on that path.
You hired him to do consulting with you?
I eventually had a software company. That's the one I started in 19. We developed enterprise software. And what I did is hire him to market the product.
Okay. Did he do a good job at it?
No, he didn't. Actually, he failed miserably. And I think his mistake was the mistake I think that most marketers have when they go to one particular niche to another, is that they forget to stop learning. They just assume that everything's the same under every buying situation. Instead of actually trying to take what he used in the past that was successful and improving on it, he just tried to display it over like a template, and that doesn't work. However, it really gave me an education on what not to do. And you know, here I was with a software company trying to sell products. Eventually, I was the one who sold everything. So a lot of it was through trial and error, my love of the human mind. And I went through actually several. I hired some VPs of marketing, went to three of them actually. So eventually I had to get over myself. I got frustrated. And this was about, after the company was about 3 years old, so the time was 22. So we started branching out into IT consulting. And I started understanding, what's the end product in mind? It's not so that they can have a cool piece of software or a cool computer system or a network. It's so they can make money, so they can be efficient and effective, and they can be innovative with their products and the way they serve people. So really, I just don't like segmenting myself, and I didn't want to segment my company either. So I ended up doing a lot of business consulting along with IT consulting. I often had a relationship that was really an executive level with all the employees of the company. So I would actually regularly meet with the owners of pretty decent-sized businesses, and they pretty much asked me about everything when it came to their business, not just IT stuff. About 2002, I found Y2 Marketing, and I knew I really wanted to take the business consulting to a step further, and really work with businesses to create more value in a more highly impactful way than just developing software and computer systems.
All right, so were you actively looking, or how did you find Y2 Marketing? How did that happen?
Well, actually, at the time, I was setting up an SEO business, search engine optimization business, because I knew if I really wanted to focus on value, I wanted to do what lawyers do, doing contingency. If you think about anyone who makes a lot of money, it's because they provide a huge amount of value in return. and they make other people a lot more money. For example, Tom Cruise gets paid $20 million a taker. Do you know the built-in audience is probably $100 million? He's worth $20 million. Any athlete, if you look at it, I mean, they put butts in the seats, they endorse a product. The fact is the people who make a lot of money, whether it be a real estate agent or a lawyer, the people who actually provide value, great access of what they provide, and they're very aware of it, and usually they're doing it on a performance basis. The fact is actors are, in a sense, doing things on a performance basis. So are athletes, so are lawyers. Any kind of people who really make a lot of money, they're all working from their own sweat, and they're pretty much taking a lot of risk that most people aren't willing to take.
And how did you come across why, too?
I saw their facts several times.
What did it say?
It said, make the jump to $350,000 per year to $700,000 per year within the next 18 months. And then it explained, you know, it was a very well-written fact. It qualified itself as a legitimate business opportunity by saying, we're not going to mislead you. It's hard, and not everyone can do this. We're only looking for a certain kind of people. We're looking for people who have at least 3 years of sales experience, at least 3 years of business management experience, preferably entrepreneurs, people above who've been making over $120,000 a year for the last 3 years. And they qualify. They gave you a sense, anyway, that they're qualifying people. And that way, it kind of creates this aura of scarcity, something that people want to get into. I think that was a very well-written ad. I'm actually thinking about using it as a template for some other things I'm doing with some clients. It's so good. They've effectively installed over 1,500 consultants using that fact flag, and at $35,000 a piece.
It was $35,000?
That's correct.
Wow. Okay. All right, so you got this fax, and what were you directed to do? How many times did you get it before you called?
3 times.
And then you called a phone number?
I called a phone number, and they sent a CD, a preview CD. It was a 2-CD set, I believe. And it was a very well-packaged CD. It had all this great copy on it. And then it directed you to go to a seminar. And I went to the seminar.
Did you pay for the CD?
No, it was free.
Was it, when you called, was it just a voicemail, or did you talk to someone?
I talked to someone.
So did they qualify you further?
First of all, they need information where to send the CD. Second, to book you into the seminar.
Okay, so you're calling. Did you know you were going to be booked into a seminar, or are you just calling to get a...
I believe so. And also, they give you a password to a website detailing the opportunity, explaining the system.
Okay. So you got 3 things. They took your address, they sent you a CD, they gave you a password and a URL to be directed towards more information, and then they booked you into a seminar that was going to be in a local area.
That's right.
All right, so the CD was on the way to you. Did you immediately go online to the site?
Yes.
And then, how far away was the seminar from the time you talked to them?
I think it might have been a week out.
Right. And so you read through the website, and then you went to the seminar.
That's correct.
A lot of people there?
Yeah, actually there really wasn't. There's 7 people, and it was a smaller room. It was done in the evening. I believe it was a Thursday evening, and it was done, I believe, after, I think it was like at 7 o'clock. It was from like 7 to 10. And then after the initial seminar, you booked a appointment with a recruiting agent for the following morning. And then pretty much they try to stimulate them in there.
All right, so what was the seminar? Was it someone up there talking, going through?
Yeah, it was PowerPoint slides, and they pretty much did a funneling down approach where they explained all the problems with a typical job nowadays and how difficult it is to really make a lot of money. You could be in the top 1% and still be broke. You could make $351,000 a year and still be broke. Well, what kind of opportunities are most lucrative, what kind of avenues do you have available to you, and eventually everything is funneled down to eventually their opportunity.
So it's a pretty compelling presentation.
Yeah.
All through PowerPoint, all structured, scripted, and organized.
That's correct.
And were you all at tables or in chairs?
We were at tables.
Okay. Was Curtis the guy doing it? Was he doing the
PowerPoint? I believe it was Curtis.
Okay, so he was taking you through the PowerPoint. So at the end of that, you could, if you chose to, book an appointment with a recruiting agent. Or if you weren't interested, you just walk away or what?
That's right.
And so you chose to book something.
Right. And then in return, you get a second password for the website where you get even more information. I think they might have given you even more bonuses as well, some sort of like packet, an information packet that was, you know, had an air of exclusivity to it.
All right, and that was for if you recruited for an appointment for the next morning.
That's right.
Okay, so you did that. You probably went home online, checked it out, then you came back for your appointment, and then it was pretty much a, they were trying to sell you, actually.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And you,
it was a hard sell. It was a takeaway kind of sell. And Curtis would say things like, you know what you really should be asking me is what you can do to make sure that you're successful in this system. So he kept on trying to qualify me. He kept on trying to qualify me instead of me qualifying him. I saw through it, and I just leveled with him. But he was pretty persistent. He's a good salesman.
So you wanted to do it, and he did it.
Yes, that's correct.
Did you do it right there?
I pretty much told him that I would take these documents home. I would get back to him the following day. Because they were trying to get me a sign right then and there, and I just have a personal policy to never do that. I know how good salesmen can be, and it's really easy to get sold on something that you really don't need or want. Buyer's remorse. But I always sleep on it at least one day. And he said he made a special exception. He gave me his cell phone number for that. But, you know, I'm sure he was happy with his commission.
Okay. Did you pay it all at once, $35,000, or did they?
It was $3,500 down, and then before you could actually come to the seminar, you had to pay the balance. And it, you had up until, like, noon on the second day back out.
Okay. The actual seminar, how far off was that scheduled?
So it was about a month and a half. They had them going, like, a few months. Had to find something that would work for my schedule.
For more exclusive interviews on business, marketing, advertising, and copywriting, go to Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com.
All right, so what did they, from the time you put your $3,500 down, what were you doing? What did they instruct you to do? Were you given?
They sent a whole box filled with classic marketing and advertising books about persuasion and influence, and a pretty much a list of things to do to prepare to set up your office with a bunch of instructions and guides on how to get you pre-started in your business. They gave you something called the Agent Resource List that pretty much had all their systems in Word and PowerPoint and Excel and PDF documents so you can start looking at that. So it's just really, you're supposed to familiarize yourself with all these materials before you went to training.
No, and did you do that?
Yeah.
All right, so some pretty helpful stuff?
It was, and I had a hard time seeing where they really made that jump from the materials they gave me, which they claimed was their background materials. That was their grounding materials.
They claimed that that first box was their grounding materials.
That's right.
But it was just books you can get at Amazon or the bookstore, some of them.
That's correct. What was really powerful was the other systems. Like, they have this thing called the ASA packets, which pretty much is a system to walk someone through creating great marketing.
Creating great marketing?
That's correct.
What's ASA stand for?
Articulated Sales Argument.
Okay. All right, so it's a system for creating great marketing for a client.
That's right. Actually, you know, any kind of written or spoken communication with a prospect or customer.
Okay, so all right. So you went through the books, you were kind of grounded and you got familiar, you went to the seminar. Was the seminar local where you were?
The actual training seminar was a 5-day seminar down in Dallas, Texas.
All right, so that was down in Dallas.
Yeah.
All right, and so you flew out there and then you went through the seminar and the train. Were you impressed?
Well, this first day I was, there's a guy by the name of Ed Earle who was a co-founder of it. He was, I'd say, pretty charismatic. He obviously had a very big ego, but it kind of was endearing. It was funny. The first day, everyone's all dressed up. The room was packed. I mean, they would pack these things with 100 people. It was unbelievable. He walked in with a tracksuit and, like, it was tracksuit pants and, like, a golf shirt tucked into his tracksuit pants. with a big honking Rolex on. Before you came, there's another part I left out. You're supposed to listen to these conference calls. So the big aura has been built up around Ed Earl. And everyone was just kind of like, whoa. And first thing he says is something like, I see you guys are all dressed up, but we don't really care about that. And we like the fact that you guys are all dressed up and we just kind of wear whatever we want. That's pretty much how he broke the ice.
Was that disappointing or?
No, I think it just showed how brash he was and maybe the, like, I'm just like above all that. It created an aura of that.
And what was the first day basically? What did you learn there?
The first day was learning about the problems with traditional marketing and advertising and going in depth about writing headlines and also developing and understanding your target market's emotional hot buttons, their values. So the first day was more of an overview of everything else we were going to cover more in depth.
Did he talk about his experience, where he learned a lot of his stuff from?
No.
He didn't mention he was a Jay Abraham protege?
No, he didn't. In fact, he bashed Jay Abraham.
He did?
Yeah.
Why? What did he say?
I don't really quite remember, but I think he was just saying that he was just a lot of talk and he really couldn't deliver when it came down to it. It was kind of ridiculous. You know, he pretty much referenced all these classic marketing and advertising books as his foundation. He didn't give credit to anyone, except people were upset with Jay.
Okay. All right, you were going over fundamental stuff, probably a lot of the stuff in the books, headlines, the problems with advertising. Then the second day you had till 12 o'clock to get your money back. But everyone there, they were pretty confident they're going to stay the 5 days?
Yeah, I mean, he kept on building a case. You know, the first day he showed quite a strong case of just how much money you can make. And funny, after noon, after the cutoff date, then they switched over to a different presenter. So apparently Ed Earls was too busy be running, you know, a seminar that he's going to be making $1 million from. And they put Ed Earl's best friend from, like, high school, who supposedly had a marketing company that he sold. This guy was an idiot.
Well, do you know his name?
John something.
Okay.
I forget it. But he was an idiot. I mean, he pretty much just read his slides verbatim. And during the break, when I asked him a question, he just didn't understand basic questions, and he didn't really have answers.
So the end of the second day, it was too late for anyone to get their money back, and then they brought on another presenter, and he wasn't too swift, in your opinion.
That's right. And then on Wednesday, he showed up 45 minutes late, and everyone was pretty much waiting for this guy. And he was tired. They only got like a few hours of sleep the previous night, like an hour and a half or something. And he was just out of it the whole day. He was the only one that presented. I think Ed Earl showed up for all of an hour, 45 minutes during that day.
Were people getting pissed?
I think so, yeah. It was pretty ridiculous.
Day, and then the fifth day, same guy presenting?
No, the fourth day, Ed Earl took over about halfway through. And then the fifth day, the CEO of Wise Marketing, the other co-founder, Ed Earl was the president, or was, Rich Harshaw, he started talking about pretty much characteristics of a successful person, having a successful mindset, developing discipline in your practice. He showed up with a black eye, which is just, he's actually a pretty good guy. He showed up with a black eye for playing basketball the previous day.
So he's got a black eye, and then he's going over core material. So, all right, so you left the thing. I mean, you've got to pay a certain percentage of your sales to them, right, in the agreement?
Yeah, 10%.
So 10% of your gross of whatever you sell, they get, right?
That's correct.
And how are you with that? How are most people with that arrangement?
I think people didn't really make much of it.
Okay, no big deal.
Because they, you know, in return, they offer support.
And how, what was the support good? Was it what they said?
In my experience, it was pretty decent. However, I found that the support people kind of had a one-track mind. The monopolize your marketplace system, which is the whole system that this whole consulting program is based on, that's all they can think of, monopolize your marketplace. And they believe it's like the end-all, be-all. You know, there's a pervasive attitude that they found the secret to all marketing problems in that this system is pretty much a gift. I mean, they're all, frankly, they're all Mormons. And they believe that this system was given to them as a gift from God. And their responsibility is to see that it is spread throughout the world. I'm not kidding. That's really what they think.
Wow. all the people working for the company?
Yeah, and especially the CEO, Rich Harshaw, which is great. He's a great guy, and I think he's a very smart guy, and I think there's a lot of merit to the mining system. However, I think he has kind of tunnel vision. Yeah, I think he's a little deluded.
Okay, so you get home, you've gone through the training, you've already got the consulting experience. How did you use what you learned? Were you able to use it effectively? What's the first thing you do when you got home?
Well, you know, the first thing I did was set up a seminar to get. We were members of the chamber, and I joined under Y2 Marketing as well as a second membership. Just coincidentally, my other company, which is the IT consulting company, already had a slot booked to give a seminar. So I just did that as a Y2 Marketing seminar. I had about 75 people show up.
How did you promote the event?
I just used the lead generator that they use for fact blasting and driving people in seminars, and I just had them have the chamber email that out to.
Oh, so they sent an email out to all the members. How many members in the chamber are there?
Oh, 1,000.
Okay, so you got 1,000 members, and you got 75. You used the standard fax document to get people to a seminar, and then you got 75 people show up. What day was it on?
I think it was a Thursday morning.
Okay. What kind of seminar were you going to do? Was it a PowerPoint? It was already structured for you, right?
Power.
Right, PowerPoint. And you were
comfortable. It was structured. It was right out of the box. It's something they gave us in training.
Uh-huh. Did you have to bring a projector?
They had a projector at the chamber.
Had you practiced it before you did it?
Yes.
All right, so you felt comfortable. Now, before you go on, what's the ultimate goal? Do the PowerPoint and what?
The ultimate goal is to try to get them into some sort of service that we offer. And the offerings at the time were consulting, which is one-on-one private consulting, group training, which was called the Mastermind System, or fulfillment. Now, I never really wanted to sell people fulfillment services.
Well, describe that. What is fulfillment services?
Like, you know, you have an ad place where we can help you with that.
Okay, design and develop it.
Right.
What else? What other fulfillment services?
Radio ads, selling radio ads, graphic design, printing, anything that has to do with marketing that's
So Y2 was set up to do all that.
That's right. We would get a commission. But I was never, ever interested in selling that stuff. We haven't or anything like that today.
Okay, so then you're left with two options for this group. Group training, or the mastermind thing, or individual one-on-one consulting.
That's correct.
Okay, all right, so go ahead. How long is the PowerPoint presentation?
The PowerPoint presentation is structured like this. First thing we do is talk about what the MYM system is and what it does, about how it can increase your business 2, 3, 4 times without them spending more money they already are. Then it goes into the old days of selling, how you could easily get appointments, and now you can't. And the bridge is good marketing. And then we describe why current marketing and advertising is done in the way it's done, and why does it work for a typical small mid-sized business. Then we reveal something called the marketing equation, which is kind of a slight altercation of the ADA formula. And we actually show some examples of that. We show some success stories like marketing had. And at the end, we said, well, do you want to monopolize your marketplace? Well, here's two paths to monopolization. And from that seminar, we got 5 people to sign up for the mastermind group, which was $3,500 a piece.
And did they pay right then, or just eventually?
Within a week.
Okay, $3,500 a piece. What did they get with that mastermind group?
Mastermind group was basically a twice-a-month course that lasted 2 hours every class for 6 months, whereby we would actually lead them through the whole monopolization marketplace system. We eventually booked 12 people into that, 12 different companies.
From that one seminar at the chamber?
Well, we also went to our warm list and started marketing through our warm list.
All right, so you had 12 at $3,500, and
right.
That was a 12-month program?
6 months. Program 4 hours a month.
4 hours a month. Okay. And you, okay. Great. That's exciting. That's some good money right there, huh?
Yeah, it's not bad. If you crank it down on an hourly basis, I was making well over $1,000 an hour.
And the training was all out of the box.
No, actually, I created it all myself.
All right, but did they have out of the box training for those group trainings?
Not yet, because I actually knew it was coming, and they told me it wasn't ready yet, but I sold it anyway, and it's a confidence that I understood the system well enough that I could create my own training system.
How'd that go? Did you enjoy doing those group trainings?
Yeah, it was frustrating. What was very difficult is people have problems implementing. They got a lot out of it, and we converted quite a number of them to one-on-one private consulting clients because they realized how much work it is. But it was a little frustrating because people were just not getting it. Yeah, and, you know, and so many of them has their ego so invested in what they're already doing. There's a saying that a lot of people would rather be right than rich.
Yeah.
That's a typical small business owner. That's why they stay small. They're concerned about, you know, feeling justified in their actions. They never step outside to see what they can do differently. They felt just by participating in this course, then they were doing the right thing and it didn't really require any kind of real work and change on their part.
So what you're saying, from your experience there, people, they want better marketing, but they don't want to do better marketing themselves. But would you say these people would rather pay somebody to do the marketing for them?
Absolutely. In fact, they don't want any kind of responsibility whatsoever. They would just love to hand someone a check and then for you to hand them back prior sale.
All right, let me ask you this before we move on. That chamber meeting, how many did you sign up for one-on-one consulting? And tell me the differentiation between the people, why some chose group and why some chose individual from your experience.
Well, we only signed up one one-on-one deal, but it was a pretty big deal.
Yeah, was it a standard thing or you could charge different amounts?
It was $9,000 a month for 8 months plus 5% of their sales increases.
Okay, so from that one chamber meeting, you signed it. You had a guy who did that, a business who signed up for that.
That's right, and this was a mid-sized printing company that did about $7 million a year. We're still a very good client of us. It's now we're just participation only.
Let me ask you a question. Sorry to interrupt. How much did that email cost you to send out?
Nothing.
How much, you know, so you invested a couple hours doing this presentation. How many dollars in sales did that eventually, that one presentation for the chamber, bring your consulting business?
Actually, I haven't added it up, but it was well over $100,000.
$100,000 for an email out to about 1,000 people to a chamber of commerce. That's not a bad return.
But I'm just very comfortable doing consulting. A lot of people who were sold on the system were in their 40s, sometimes in their 50s, even in their 60s, and they spent all their whole career doing something completely different than consulting. They've never worked for themselves. I always worked. They're just not very entrepreneurial. A lot of them were engineers and didn't really have very good people skills. So it just, I think that they were a little too promiscuous and offering the training and the consulting program to certain people. I just don't think that certain people were set up for it.
Do any more promotions for any more presentations, or did you just work with those that you had generated from the first chamber meeting? Were you continuing to do marketing, or were you working with the clients in the group mastermind presentation for a while?
Well, we got busy pretty quick, but we did a second seminar in a hotel where we did do the fax blast and got about 100 businesses in there.
All right, so you did a fax blast that they gave you the art and everything, and you faxed it out to what? Who?
We faxed it out to any business fax number we had access to.
Yeah, how many did you send out?
I think I sent out about 3,000 faxes.
To your local area?
That's right.
And the fax was an offer for what? Free seminar? Did they have to pay?
It was for a free seminar and $288.50 worth of bonuses just for showing up.
Okay. And when was it held? What, in the morning?
It was in the morning from 8 to noon.
All right, so you had about 100 businesses show up.
That's right.
Did you use the standard PowerPoint like you did at the chamber?
No, this was a 4-hour thing.
Oh, 4-hour. The PowerPoint was how long?
Well, the one in the chamber was 1 hour. The PowerPoint that we did when we put on a seminar completely by ourselves was 4 hours.
All right. And how much of it was PowerPoint? What was this? How did this differentiate from the initial 1 hour one?
Well, it was much more in depth. We actually had them go through parts of the system right there in the seminar. And we actually did some hot seats, as they would call it. I believe we just call it flash consulting, right there in front of the group. And
people seemed to like those?
Yeah, absolutely.
So people would get up in the front of the room, and they'd talk about their business, and you or the whole group would try and fix their problems?
Actually, I would pretty much try to fix the problems. But what I would do, for example, let's just say if someone is a roofer, and they want to know how to create a marketing piece that's going to effectively get people to call him before their his competitors. So what we do is, you know, say, look, let's take a poll. So we would survey the group. Anyone here ever had their, a roof replaced? And maybe 10 people have, and okay, what are your experiences? What were your concerns? What was your buying process? You know, your selection process and selecting a roofer. Explain to me the kind of frustrations that you've had. So basically coaching these businesses on the fact that the ultimate answer is in finding out how to market to someone is not a marketing guru, it's actually the prospect themselves. And really learning how to survey and ask and focus on your target market.
Okay. How did you like doing the four-hour presentation?
You're listening to an exclusive interview found on Michael Sinoff's hardtofindseminars.com.
Well, it was difficult because at this point I started seeing the problems with the MYM system.
Tell me about that.
The MYM system, really the whole presentation is about advertising. All right, and really I think it's because there's several things. If they're going to create a system that is the ultimate system for marketing, I think it has to be just a portion of the marketing spectrum, not the whole pie. So they focused on advertising, and they really taught us to find setups. People who are already advertising, people who we could easily go and just change their advertisements, and then boom, make them a lot of money.
So you didn't talk about three ways to grow a business. You talked about three ways to make your advertising better.
That's right.
And advertising is just a small part of the marketing umbrella.
That's correct.
So there was really nothing else other than improving results in advertising.
It was about their messaging, too, that in terms of creating, we did show them how to create an elevator pitch, but really wasn't comprehensive. It didn't talk about pillars, you know, kind of prop to nine kind of philosophy. It didn't talk about optimizing what you're already doing.
So where were these frustrations coming out? Because people in there maybe weren't doing advertising or what?
Well, yeah. Some people were like, oh, we don't do yellow page advertising, or we don't do advertising. Because the seminar says learn the newest, most effective marketing, advertising, and sales techniques. That's the headline. And so we talked about some more pure marketing and sales stuff, but it really is around advertising.
All right, so that became apparent during that four-hour presentation.
Yeah.
So some people, it just wasn't relevant for them.
Right. And even though technically they could have taken that information and really used it, say, in a sales letter or this what they say to a client in the sales pitch, putting together a report, they didn't see the application of that information.
Okay, so that was frustrating. Anything else?
I would say that when you get a client from that kind of scenario, that people expect you to pretty much do what is done in that seminar. You know, all the examples we show them in the seminar. However, that's not the best way to enter into a consulting situation. What you want to do is, first of all, look at what they're doing already and optimize that. Instead of putting it on, as Jay would put it, a different pillar that they have no experience in and just confusing the issue further. So their expectation as far as what should be done based on the seminar and actually even the MYM audiobook, their expectations are, I think, not correct. I've literally gone into a business and I've tripled their sales in the first month. And they were like, when are we really going to get to see this thing? And that was because I didn't manage their expectations properly. Because I hadn't gone through what, quote-unquote, the monopolizer marketplace system was.
Yeah, you were pitching people all at one time. You weren't looking at them individually like you had a chance to sit down with them and really look at what they want and where they were at individually. Okay, so all right, so after that, you pitched, you did the workshop to 100 people. What were the results from that? What came out of that?
That actually, believe it or not, created less business than the chamber seminar. I believe we maybe got some more mastermind people. We did get one client, but it was a smaller client. The quality just wasn't as high, but the volume was higher.
The volume was there, but the message to them what you delivered was different from what they were there for.
Yeah, and actually, I've thought a lot about that since, and I really think it's because the people, the kind of businesses where they're actually going to respond to is they expect less, and the owner's actually going to respond to that versus like a secretary. Those are small businesses. That printing company client, which was the first client that I got after from a large marketing consultant, I would have never reached him through a fax blast.
Your Chamber of Commerce market was a lot more qualified than the fax market.
Yes, absolutely.
That's probably why you had a higher quality list.
Yeah, and a lot of the people showed up to the seminar were salespeople.
Yeah, and it was also endorsed by. It was somewhat of an endorsed offer. You know, since it was done through the chamber.
Absolutely. It's huge. I've done testing. When you send something through a chamber of commerce, the open rate's like 85%.
Tell my consultants, my HMA consultants, do you think they could work their local chambers and do what you did if they have the tools to put on a PowerPoint?
Oh, absolutely. People are always looking for ways to increase their business. And people love these things. And the fact is, every single chamber, you're going to see the same insurance. Every single seminar that you ever go to for a chamber, you're going to see the same insurance salesman. You're going to see the same real estate agent. You're going to see the same hustlers. But you're still going to get a good percentage of people that are legitimate prospects.
You saw some problems with the message and the Y2 system. What was your thinking now? What did you do from there?
Well, actually, the whole next year, I actually said, you know what? I'm not really interested in taking any kind of client on. And I realized I don't need clients. That's one thing I think is very critical to understand. Because if you're really that good at marketing and you really understand how to drive business, you do not need a client. Because you have so much leverage that you could pretty much create a system that's create a flood of business for a particular industry. Or you can create a system and license it to multiple companies within that industry.
So give me an example of what you were thinking in relation to what you were doing. So you said, I don't want clients. Was it working with clients individually, was it tough for you?
No, not at all. I just didn't think it was a high leverage of my time. When I really made the jump in income was from actually creating systems and leveraging them across a group of companies instead of within the same industry versus going to one guy might be a printing company, one might be an insurance company, one might be a auto repair shop. It's just too hard to really leverage these kind of deals together. But it's great if you get like a mortgage company and a real estate company and an insurance company, well, because all three of them have the same buyer. And you can leverage these people off of each other and really just create enormous synergy.
So who would you recommend consultants stay away from? What kind of clients should they stay away from? And what kind of clients would you suspect are really nice potential clients?
Anyone who's asking for a reference right away, I'll stay away from them.
What do you mean? I don't understand. What do you mean?
Well, you know, if you're sitting down and you finally get that meeting and they're asking for references, you don't want to deal with those kind of people. Even if you do have good references to give them, they're never going to try to go through the learning curve they need to go through to really understand what you can do for them. The best client is someone that, I don't know what you guys give to people, but Y2 Marketing Consultants, they give people the MYM audio book, the Monopoly Marketplace audio book. And all the best clients listen to that thing 5-6 times.
Is it just a CD or is it a book too?
It's a two CD audio book.
Okay. So your best clients, they devour it.
That's right.
And so they're qualified. They're also pre-educated about what they can expect.
Since I don't use the MYM CDs, and I'm not really using the MYM system exclusively, I actually use that as a tool when I do take on clients. But the point is, whatever marketing tool you have, and as long as it's educational, I did look at the HMA presentation, it seemed pretty educational. Make sure that they really understand it, make sure that they devour it, make sure that they're converts and not just clients.
Then there's really no, you don't have to spend your time convincing. You've got two people on the same side of the table trying to grow a business.
That's right. And you know, you always find out what the owner's definition of success is.
What have you found? How does that help you?
Because if their definition of success is get rich quick and pretty much just retire to the Bahamas, then they're not going to have the vision or the discipline to invest in their business for the long haul. For example, I'm sure you guys are taught about the lifetime value of a customer. Well, a get-rich-quick thinker is not interested in exploring that because they don't really care about the lifetime value of the customer. They just want to get a lot of money right away. You really want to stay away from that. But if their vision of success is having a thriving company that has lots of happy customers and they love what they do, I always ask, before I actually take someone on as a client, I always ask them, why are you in this business? Why did you choose to go this direction in your life? Is there something else you'd rather be doing? Because the people who really are successful love what they're doing. Bill Gates doesn't want to retire, even though he has all the money in the world. He loves what he does. Warren Buffett is going to be managing his investment portfolio until he dies. That's because he loves what he does. You want to find business owners that are like that, because those are the people who are going to really take your advice seriously and really hit the ground running and implement it. The people who are just looking for a quick buck and this is a way to serve only themselves and not their customers or the marketplace, they're not going to be good clients for you.
All right. Can we talk about some success stories, some consulting clients, and just some exciting stories of how marketing or advertising or your consulting practice really kicked up sales for a company? What one client really sticks out in your mind?
Well, I've created a niche for myself, and there's two niche industries that I've created. One's chiropractic and this general alternative health care. The second is mortgage and real estate.
I know there's other people in that niche market. Even if there's four or five other players, is there still plenty of room for it?
Yeah, absolutely. Because the fact is there's people who sell marketing systems for it. This is about any kind of industry you can think of. And a lot of my clients have already seen this stuff, these marketing systems, but they want someone who will go and customize a system exactly for them.
All right, there we go. We're getting back to the same thing we talked about earlier. People don't want content. They don't want systems. They want someone to do it for them, right?
They want someone to work with them, hold their hand, someone they can hold accountable, you know, someone that they know has their best interest in heart.
So what you were offering was different than just an information product on how to grow your chiropractic business.
That's right.
Let's talk about the importance. You mentioned two niche industries. Now let's talk about the importance of niching yourself in a certain area as a consultant compared to being a general business growth strategist or marketing consultant for anyone and everyone. Are you better off with a niche?
Absolutely.
Why?
Well, one, you can leverage your time much more effectively. You don't have to recreate the wheel every single time. However, before you get into a niche, I do recommend that you consult with multiple businesses just so you can get a flavor of different scenarios. Because one of the most powerful things you can do is take something that works in another industry and apply it to a completely unrelated industry. It really gives you a lot of leverage. It's funnel thinking instead of tunnel thinking. So it's really helpful. And honestly, even though those are my niches, I still take on random businesses, the people I like that I meet that I really want to help. And that's only maybe 20 to 30% of my practice. But it helps keep me sharp and helps keep my skills honed and refined, and it helps me develop better systems in my niche industry.
All right, so what are you doing with the chiropractic industry?
Well, for example, what I do is I send there's several different ways to get into a chiropractor, but it generally, I mean, I use 3 to 4 different methods to really get them as clients, but it all revolves around giving them service and giving them free advice. But once you get in, the first thing I do is I look at what they're doing.
First thing you do is you look at what they're doing.
Yes, and then I identify what I call profit leaks.
What kind of lead generation do you use? What kind of piece do you get to get in front of them before you're able to look at their profit leaks? What's working for you?
That's the cool thing about chiropractors. I can walk in and just act like a interested patient. I'll say something like, oddly enough, I'm a marketing consultant, and I was just doing some research for my client here, and you seem to have a pretty good operation, and I have a lot of information I can share with you about your competitors. I've wide body of research about your competitors, about what they're doing, and about market trends. If you want, I can talk to you about it. And I've never had anyone say no yet.
They love to know what their competitors are doing.
That's right. And then we set up, said, look, I don't really have time now. I'll come back when you have some time, maybe before or after patients start coming in. Usually you want to catch them before patients come in. And you sit down and you talk to them about it. And you explain to them the problem, and you get a feel for what their personality is like. You want someone that's going to implement. And that's really what I'm trying to get a feel for. Why they're doing chiropractic? Do they have a passion? Are they interested in expanding their customers' buying patterns? Or are they kind of have a narrow-minded view of what they do? So I really work on, because I also work on the innovation side of their business and really service offerings about where they are in the minds of the 80% of the people out there that don't like chiropractic. So I really work on expanding their thinking and talking to them about other alternative health care methods and how they all kind of work together and how chiropractic can be the hub of the wheel.
So you're working just in your local area. This is primarily how you've been doing it with chiropractors, is referrals and just walking in cold?
That's right. And generally what happens is they eventually just said, well, how much will it cost to work with you? I said, well, first of all, before we ever get into that, I really want to understand you a little bit better. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure this is something that's going to work out for both of us. I'm not interested in clients. I'm interested in partners. The fact is, that's the truth. That's not a lie. You do not want a client if you're going to have a perpetual relationship with them. You want a partner. And all my chiropractic partners, they're pretty much in business with me. You know, I go and I check in on them. I give them advice on how to run their operation and constantly working with them.
I like that. That's excellent.
Generally, I always ask them, I've already gotten to a comfort point of them pretty much disclosing everything about their finances with me. How much money they're paying themselves, how much money they're bringing in each month, what their overhead is, you know, where they would like to be, what mistakes they think they're making, what their retirement plans are, everything. Then I find, I say, well, look, one, I'm a performance-based consultant, but this does not mean that you can get me for free. And I'll tell you why, because people do not respect what they don't pay for. This is from my experience. This is not a lie either. This is because I've taken on clients in contingency only, and they've been disasters. I want to make sure that you have a vested interest in this process just as well as I do. So I find a monthly figure that makes sense for their cash flow that isn't so much that they're going to be panicking if I don't deliver quickly enough, but isn't so little where they don't really feel like they have a vested interest.
And well, give me a range between, you've got some at what and some at what?
As low as $3,500 a month for 6 months up to $9,000 a month.
For 6 months?
Yeah, generally I do a 6 month thing. Plus, then I arrange a deal where I get about a third of increased business.
33% of increase in net?
Revenues.
Gross?
Gross, yeah.
And because you're dealing with a service business, there's enough in it for you.
That's right.
All right, and that's another good advice. If you're going to do consulting, you're going to be a lot better off if you do set up contingency relationships to go with a service business that has high margins rather than some manufacturer or grocer that's making, you know, 3 or 4%.
Absolutely. This printing company client, I've made good money from them, but their margins are so low that the most they could give us is 5% of the increased sales.
Are you taking them through a systemized questionnaire? I mean, you're consulting. Do you have a questionnaire that's systemized?
Well, you know, White Marketing gave us one when we started. I created my own. I mean, at this point, I really don't use the monopolized your marketplace system.
Yeah, you've done your own thing.
I still send White Marketing their 10%, pretty much in gratitude, because if I hadn't had that as a starting point, I wouldn't have had the confidence, I think, or the boost I needed to get into marketing consulting.
All right, that's good. You're a good man. Let's say you know everything about my consulting practice. Tell me, how are you going to close it? You're going to say to me what? And how are you going to make me the offer for the money? What are you going to say to me?
You're saying that if I were to go out after a consultant?
Yeah, after a client. I'm your chiropractor client. We've talked. We've got a trust relationship. You know my finances, and now you're going to close. Let's say, quote, unquote, you're going to close me. What are you going to say to me?
I never close anyone. I let them close themselves.
All right. Well, tell me, how do you do that?
This is where part of the art comes from. In my last business, I had a 95% closing ratio. And this business, it's about the same. It's just part of my nature to close people. It's generally, if I had to really look at myself objectively, what I do is, all I do is talk about them. All I do is talk about what's going on, and then I give them advice, and I lead them down. I kind of do, I funnel them. I identify the pain in a broad sense. I identify the trends, the fact that I understand something about the chiropractic industry, the fact that it's real powerful when you say something like, did you know that chiropractic is, in terms of people who are certified to practice, is growing 2.5 times faster than the population rate?
Wow.
You know, I mean, that it's the highest default of any kind of student loan is for chiropractors. Explain all this stuff, and you identify what kind of problems they're having, their frustrations, and how they can't reach out to that marketplace that's turned off by chiropractors. You got to show them that you know about the industry, and really that, and then you start showing them, well, you know, I mean, this is what I created to overcome this problem. Mm-hmm. I actually bring a lot of the materials with me, and I show them. And then they invariably ask, well, what does it cost to get involved with this? Before we even talk about money, I need to understand some things about you. I qualify them. Because yeah. The fact is, and that's not a sales ploy either, that's just being a smart consultant. Because if you just take on any chiropractor who's willing to have 10 and send you a check, or any business within your niche industry,
you'll be sorry. Yeah.
And really, I'm not interested in that $3,500 a month for Canner, or the $5,000 a month for Canner. That's peanuts compared to the amount of money that I can make from increasing the business. I want someone who's really going to implement, hit the ground running, and I tell them about my other successes, my experience. I explain myself to them, and I practice myself as someone who knows what he's doing, get results for them fast, and is deeply committed in a partnership sense to anyone he works with.
So that's good. So you really qualify them. You let them know that you're not interested in working with them unless they're going to do the program, and we're partners, because you have a stake in the contingency part of the relationship.
That's right, and also, I mean, I'm discounting my time. Because at this point in my career, I'm making over $1,000 an hour for my time spent on any different given deal. For me, it's $3,500 a month is peanuts for spending 20 hours a week with someone. When you're really systemized, you don't spend 20 hours a week, but when you're starting, you're doing 20 hours a week. Not 20 hours a week, I'm sorry, 20 hours a month.
All right, well, let's talk about what kind of advice would you give an HMA consultant who maybe doesn't have all those success stories and the consulting experience, and they're starting cold, but you give them advice to go with a niche?
Everyone knows something about a particular industry. I mean, think about the things you know about. Think about the experiences you've had. Maybe your former job you had or the job you currently have is within a particular industry, and you know everything about that industry. That would be a great place to start. You know, you can go back to your previous employer. You can go to a competitor business. You start putting together marketing materials that you think is going to work and really help that kind of business. And then you find, hopefully, you have some contacts somewhere in there, and you go for a very low retainer. You just want to get the experience. The best way to accelerate your consulting career is to actually get success under your belt. It's going to give you the confidence. It's also going to give you the learning curve that you need to help others. And you've got to really think about honing your craft initially.
Right.
And just take on any client, be selective, but at the same time, don't be too demanding.
So, all right, let's go to a couple success stories with chiropractor clients.
Well, for example, it's real easy to triple a practice within the first 2 to 3 weeks. So you can see if I'm getting a good percentage of that increase and how easy it is to make money. It's really easy to create passive income real quick.
Sorry, what's the low-hanging fruit? The customer list? Reactivate old existing customers?
Actually, no. The lowest hanging fruit is actually on the average sale and the conversion ratio and referral.
Okay. And you can implement those things right away.
Yeah, I mean, it's really easy to go through and say, well, whatever industry you're in, study what everyone else does. Study what the most successful auto repair shop does. And take that and see how it works, why it works, and then do what you know about good marketing, enhance that, and then just coach and work with that shop to increase their conversion ratio and also increase their average sale. It's really easy to double a chiropractor's average sale overnight and also just double their conversion ratio overnight.
Tell me the responses you get from your clients when you do that.
Initially, it was, when are we getting started? I showed them the MYM system. We're just going to run a bunch of advertising and they're going to get a bunch of leads. But generally, they're thrilled, and a lot of times they don't even realize just how much their business has increased until they start getting collections in from their insurance company.
Okay, and you're doing similar stuff with the mortgage industry?
Yeah, in fact, in the mortgage industry, I have several clients, and basically I was tired of getting more mortgage and realtor clients, so I decided to actually put together a federation of different people within this industry, and just the moving companies, lawyers who do the closing, and where I'm the hub of that wheel, and only working with people that qualify for the prospect space that I'm going after, target market that I'm going after, and to pay a monthly fee to receive leads and then be part of this network, and they're all considered to be certified as part of this network.
Do you offer any kind of guarantee with your customers?
In the mortgage and realtor industry, yeah.
What kind of guarantee?
Well, that they're going to get X amount of leads.
Okay. And what about with chiropractor?
No, I haven't had to.
Okay. What kind of agreement do you sign? Simple, you have a standard contract, an attorney drew up, or what?
This is the key. The first month, I always kind of do a handshake and see how well we work together, because I'm not interested in spending much of my time with someone if they're not going to implement the kind of advice I give them. And also, I want to make sure they're comfortable working with me, because this is a perpetual lifetime kind of agreement, and there's a buyout clause. Before we sign that kind of agreement, I want to make sure that we're going to be happy with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Before you get married, let's date a little bit. Then I move them into a perpetual agreement, and they have an option to buy me out after the first year. And the key is the first month, I make sure that they get results. I make sure that they get results right away so that they're comfortable entering into that kind of relationship with me. I'm just completely results-oriented to begin with, but even more so during that first month. They have to see a return on that retainer investment right away.
Have you had anyone buy you out yet?
No, because I haven't had them long enough yet.
Is working with the chiropractor, is that something you've started implementing in the last few months?
Over the past year.
Over the past year, okay. Do you find they're staying with you longer than, do they renew another 6 months, or?
There's no renewal. It's perpetual.
Oh, it is perpetual, that's right. It's a six-month retainer.
Right.
What happens in month seven? More retainer or no?
No retainer, and it's a straight contingency at that point.
I got you. But you're not seeing them near as much. The systems are in place.
That's right. You know, that's not true. I do see them at least an hour or two or a week. I'm constantly looking ways to increase their business. And I take that information and I apply it to other people with my industry.
How full is your schedule? Are you pretty busy?
Yeah, extremely.
You're extremely busy.
Yeah.
All right, you got any other exciting success stories you want to talk about? Anything specific that you'd like to share?
Yeah, I've had a lot of successes. And one of the things is you can make a lot of money in this industry. And the easiest thing to do is every monumental overnight success comes from not trying to implement something new, but from just optimizing what they already had. For example, the printing company, the first client I ever got, which I've had for several years now, initially we tried to implement the MYM system. It did pay for itself. It paid for the retainer. But it didn't really get the monumental success we all thought it would. And it's not because it doesn't work. It's just because they had a hard time managing it. It was too cumbersome. It was too different from what they were used to. Finally, we're just like, you know what, let's just take a look at what you're doing and optimize that. For example, so we went to their salespeople and talked to the sales manager and figured out, okay, first of all, we need to incentivize these people to actually get new clients. We've generated a lot of prospects. There's not following up on it. This is the constraint in the whole system. You're only going to be as fast as your fastest constraint within a system. And let's just tweak this, let's change your commission structure, and right there, 35% increase in sales in 2 months. So that's the kind of thing that you can do. And that's one thing I was impressed about with your system is the fact that you guys are focusing initially on what they're already doing and optimizing it. You're going to get your biggest windfalls from that,
mm-hmm.
not from implementing something new. And one of the things is, as a marketing consultant, it's really easy to get enamored with these ideas of making a lot of money, and you certainly can. But if you don't really love the human mind, and you don't really love what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
Your chances of success go down dramatically. If you don't have passion for marketing, again, you're not going to be able to get the results that you could. It's like passion is an intelligence amplifier.
What are some tools and some systems that you've put in place, whether it's software or anything within your office that you're able to leverage your time now that you're getting busier? I mean, I know I am, and I'm constantly looking for ways to, if I could, I just finally got something that eliminates all my spam. I mean, you know how much time it takes to go through your spam. Any neat systems that you use, any tools that you use within your business that help give you an edge?
Well, you know, actually, I've reduced the number of tools because you can imagine I'm a gadget guy.
Yeah.
I grew up on computers. Everything I do was digital for so long, and I found out that to be cumbersome. I use GoTo my meeting, review documents, and like.
What is that? A website?
GoTo my meeting is a service whereby you can have a virtual meeting over the web, and only cost $50 a month.
That's nice. Is it? What's the website? The URL.
GoToMeeting.com.
GoToMeeting.com. Okay, that sounds nice.
Yeah, and it's a really good tool for interacting with people if you can't make it. Considering I deal with a lot of chiropractors, I really like to see their operation because there's so many different points of impression that you make on a patient right there physically. And also I have several retail operations that are clients of mine, and I got to get a sense of what their physical experience is like. I have mortgage companies and the real estate agents, however, that kind of stuff I can do remotely pretty well.
Hey, you're going to love, I've got a recording up on when I send you the recordings with Dr. Greg Nielsen. Have you heard of him? He's a Dan Kennedy student, and he's specifically a chiropractor, and he's got a system, it's a soap opera letter system that he uses. It's phenomenal.
Really?
Yeah, you'll hear the recording about one of his letters, and he sells the letters, but I did an interview with him on his chiropractic business. Actually, the recording I have in the university section, I did cut a lot of the history out about how he works with patients, but I do have the full version of that. I think that'll be particularly perfect for you to listen to. I'll give you the unedited version where you can hear his system as operating a chiropractic business. Very successful in a very, very small town using a system of soap opera letters. It's phenomenal.
See that. And this kind of leads into another piece of advice that I could give your consultants is that never think that you have all the answers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've increased chiropractic offices 1,000% in sales inside of a year, yet I definitely know I don't have all the answers about how to best market chiropractic because the human mind is so fast and so unpredictable and so fascinating that you can never have the perfect system. This is an example whereby you always want to be looking for new approaches that might be more efficient, something else you can add to increase your client's sales.
Mm-hmm. So because of your, I want to just get back to something, because the HMA system, we talk about contingency, but not at first. We talk about selling it per project, and there's 7 different projects you can sell. But because you're qualifying so well, have you had any problems with contingency relationships where the 6 months are gone and then you're in a position?
First of all, you only want to do business with people you trust. Second, you want to get them in a habit whereby you are reviewing their books with them on a monthly basis at least. You want to start doing that up front so that they have that expectation and they know that they're going to have to be straightforward or they're going to have to do some real creative hooking of the book, in which case it would be real easy for you to detect that because you're familiar with their numbers.
When's the first time you review their books?
Right before I sign the big agreement.
Do they have an accountant that they'll refer you to, or they usually do it themselves, or what?
It really depends. I've only had to talk to the accountant once. Just some people generally don't know, but generally most chiropractors know what they're doing.
Number one, get them in the habit that you're going to review their books and you're going to do it monthly because you're partners and that's part of the agreement, right?
That's right.
And number two, qualify them. And number two, make sure you trust them and feel good about them and you shouldn't have any problems.
That being said, I know that I've probably got several chiropractors that are going to have the opportunity to buy me out within the next 2 months, and I'm pretty sure they're going to do it.
So tell me, what could a buyout mean for you? How do you structure that in the offer, in the agreement?
You want to have the buyout to be based on standard industry valuations for their industry, basically. For example, a typical chiropractor, if they're going to sell their firm, it's 1x revenue, roughly. Doing $1 million a year, they can sell that for $1 million. And basically, I get X percent of whatever that increased valuation. The part of the valuation I'm responsible for, I get X percent of that.
So give me an example. What, you've got a couple potential. What could that mean for you?
It could mean making $700,000.
And then they own the systems and everything. That'd be exciting. That's great. How do you come up with a baseline?
Baseline is what I do is I take a look at their sales in the past and I take a look at what their natural growth is. You always want to get them a little bit more than what they would, this would make them feel good about it, mm-hmm. Trying to be fair, a little bit more than what they're already doing at mm-hmm. baseline.
And you both agree on the baseline?
That's right.
This has been great. I'm sure we could sit here and talk for hours. I really appreciate you taking the time. You've given a lot of great, great insight. I really appreciate it.
To all the HMA consultants, I wish you the greatest of luck. Remember to follow your own definition of success instead of someone else.
I hope you've enjoyed this interview with Alex Whiting. We've covered a lot of information, and I hope you'll take his advice and listen to it closely. Alex has been in the consulting business for a long time, and certainly he shared some extremely valuable information. I hope it's been helpful. Keep an eye out for new recordings on the HMA University. Thank you. For more interviews like this, go to hardtofindseminars.com.